Welcome to an excerpt of the July 25th, 2006 podcast from the Cricks Lecture Series, brought to you by the Cricketer's Arms Hotel in Surry Hills, Sydney, Fourth Estate Radio, and MGK Machine Gun Keyboard. This podcast features Andrew Ferguson, the New South Wales General Secretary for the Construction, Forestry, Mining, and Energy Union, or CFMEU, and Mal Peters, a construction worker who faces a $28,000 fine under work choices for walking off the job when the union steward was sacked from his position on Mal's job site. Be sure to visit fourthestateradio.com to hear the full podcasts of the entire Cricks Lecture Series. Today's lecture is introduced by Rodrigo Acuño.
Here to present the lecture titled Work Choices, the Attack on the CFMEU, the Battle Ahead for Workers' Rights. Please give a warm welcome to Andrew Ferguson.
Well, thanks very much, Rodrigo, for that very generous welcome. I want to say a few things in general about work choices, and then more specifically about special legislation which is being used in the building trade and against the building unions. In terms of the general legislation, you've got very serious attacks upon trade union and workers' rights. Firstly, you've got restrictions on union right of entry to prevent union officials, representatives of workers, gaining access to sites to represent and organise working people at workplaces. And then you've got this obscene attack upon the minimum wage. The richest and most powerful people in this country making a decision that the poorest paid workers on $11 an hour deserve a wage freeze or a wage cut. And that's part of this general attack to lower wages and employment conditions in this country. You then got the dismantlement of awards. Many benefits and provisions that have been won over decades of struggle being stripped from awards. And then we have the introduction of individual contracts. We have the misnamed legislation work choices. Certainly not about choice. Giving employers the power to dictate that new employees at a workplace must work under individual contracts. Generally speaking, with substantially less pay and conditions, doesn't represent any form of choice for working people. And then we have the pretense that you've got the right to be in trade unions, but the reality is you've got the right to be in a union that doesn't have any real bargaining power at the workplace, because all new entrants work under individual contracts on lower rates, with no choice, eroding any collective bargaining agreements that unions can win. But in particular in the building trade, we've got a very special assault. The federal government has decided that they want to destroy a number of unions. We've seen a very significant attack upon the maritime union a number of years ago, and you would have seen that with the big Patrick's dispute. But they've now decided to pay special attention to the building trade, in particular the CFMEU. And they've introduced two special pieces of legislation. One is the misnamed Building and Construction Industry Improvement Bill. And under that legislation, which when it was introduced was in fact made retrospective, it effectively outlaws and criminalises union activity on building sites. It makes it unlawful for workers to have any meeting about any issue unless the union has got the written permission of the developer, the builder, and every employer at a workplace. And at our workplaces, we don't have one employer in charge. You might have 50, 100, a Westfield shopping centre, you might have 400 different employers, and it's impossible to get the written permission of all those employers giving the union the right to have some meeting with workers about a grievance or expressing solidarity with other workers or campaigning politically against the elected government. Unlawful to have any form of union meeting unless there's written permission or there's an imminent threat to your life. If the scaffolding's collapsing, you've got the right to stop work, duck for cover, and then rush straight back to work. But no right, even if a worker's killed, to actually stop work to discuss what happened, what the cause was, and what needs to be done. And this is an industry where one worker is killed every week on a building site. The worker killed closest to here was 18 years of age. His name was Selwyn Sabrinsky Wano. He was killed in Foley Lane at Darlinghurst. Scaffold collapsed. The wall collapsed. It buried him under concrete, bricks, and his dad was on the site and had to carry his body off. One worker every week killed on the building site, and we no longer have the right to actually discuss workplace safety, even to grieve for workers. Not only made unlawful, but to make sure workers understand it's unlawful, they're threatened with massive fines. $22,000 for a worker to go to a union meeting unless it's authorised by the employers at the workplace. And in addition to that, very significant fines also against the union for convening meetings at the workplace. The fine under this special legislation for the building trade is $110,000 for each employer we impact by having a meeting. So if we had a meeting for 30 minutes about workers' rights, there's 10 different employers on the site, we're potentially up for $1.1 million on one site for a 30-minute discussion about workers' rights. You campaign across an industry and the union no longer exists. So this is a sort of fines against workers to bully and intimidate workers in the building trade standing up and fighting for their rights to threaten the union, but also the agenda of seeking to, in fact, bankrupt and destroy all forms of union organisation in the industry. But in addition to that, if that wasn't sufficient to threaten and intimidate workers, they established a special task force with a budget of $96 million of taxpayers' money, employing hundreds of enforcers. And their responsibility is not to investigate wage rates, underpayments, misuse of migrant workers or guest workers, or investigate safety. They're in fact prohibited from looking at any of those issues. They can only look at breaches of this type of federal legislation that's been introduced by the federal government. So a special task force running around building sites investigating union activity. But also a task force that's got coercive powers. Powers that are greater than the New South Wales Police investigating major crime or murders. Powers to interrogate workers about union meetings, no right to silence, no protection from self-incrimination. And if a worker or a union delegate or a union official refuses to answer questions about what happened at a union meeting, what leaflet was given out, what recommendation was made by a union official, that worker faces a prospect of a fine of $6,600 or 6 months in jail for refusing to participate in an interrogation session about democratic union activity at a workplace. And that worker is required to participate in the interrogation, cannot under any circumstance divulge the questions or the nature of the discussion to their partner, to their union delegate, and if they do, they face once again the prospect of fines or imprisonment. So very special legislation for the building trade, and I think a lot of people would have thought that work choices is probably mainly about, you know, attacking wages and employment conditions. But what I want to say to you, there's very serious issues here about civil liberties and democratic rights. Now, this is legislation that's on the statute book. And I think a lot of people would find it hard to believe that this type of legislation exists in this country. this type of laws that you've seen in the Philippines under Marcos or in Chile under Pinochet. But in fact, we have these types of laws in this country which represent some of the worst labour laws in the world, unprecedented laws for workplace relations. But now we've actually got the laws now being used against our union and against our members. Our Western Australian branch now has writs and damages of between $10 and $15 million against it, more than its assets. And the employers and the federal government are gearing up to completely bankrupt the union in Western Australia, but not just against the union. We've got these laws now being used against workers. On one of the projects in Western Australia, we had a union delegate that was sacked unfairly. He had the confidence and the respect of his workmates, and he had that because he represented their class interests on the building site. If they're underpaid, he fixed up their underpayments. He made sure workers were treated with respect. And when he was sacked, there was a strike on the job of the workers. It went for 2 weeks. There was an eventual resolution of the dispute. And I've got one of the workers from that job here tonight, Mal Peters. He was a safety rep on the job, and his wife, Bernadette. And I'll give you a bit of detail about what happened on that site. But now we've got the federal government, their special task force, initiating prosecutions against 107 workers. And those workers now are facing fines of $28,600 for going on strike, backing up a mate and a union delegate that was unfairly sacked. So I might leave it there. I've made some reference generally to the Workplace Relations Act, to work choices, but special legislation for the building trade. At the moment, we're organising a tour of one of the rank-and-file workers around Sydney building sites. We're not allowed to have meetings on building sites, but we have them at 6:30 in the morning, at Smoko, lunchtime, after work, and we're raising money to try and back up these workers to make sure that those workers and their families have got some financial support. But more important in this dispute, more important than the financial support, is to educate working people in this country about the labour laws, to try and build a mobilisation of workers to combat the laws and to strengthen the passion and solidarity of the Australian trade union movement. But I might leave it there and introduce it to Mal. Mal has worked in the building trade for 35 years. He's not a union official. He started working when he was 16 years of age. Bricky's labourer, mixing mud, carrying bricks, erecting scaffold, and now he's leading workers in that particular dispute, facing massive fines and intimidation from the federal government. So I'd ask you to give Mal a bit of a welcome here tonight. Thanks very much.
We'll have the usual question and answer session after, but the mic's all yours, mate.
Yep, thanks, you. Yeah, thanks for the invite to this forum tonight. As Andrew said, we've had a great response. Me and my wife, Bernadette, have been chosen, and we put our hands up to come and spread the word around every state that what is actually happening with these new draconian laws of John Howard and his government. What it's doing to not just workers, but the community and families, what it's going to affect all over this country. I'm still a safety rep on this job, but I don't know how long I will be when I get back, but we've taken it on anyway. We started on this project in 2004, and we had a Constitution EBA in place. We had a delegate, sorry, and I was a delegate for the safety on there. And as we went on, we had issues with safety, industrial issues, that was always put on the back burner for the sake of production. And what we're worried about now is what's going to happen if all these laws, when they do come in place, that's going to be even worse for all these jobs as well. We were given orders on us early days for disputes over safety again and union issues, and then to come to the stage where the new ILOs reached us and we were doing our job as normal on all areas. And then our shop steward, our delegate Peter Pellard, was off sick and he was sacked for no reason but doing his job. So we decided to say, well, we are going to pull the pin. We're going to take our labour off the site, and had a meeting and said we were not going back until our delegate was reinstated. They wouldn't reinstate a delegate, but they had these other options that they hummed and hawed about. They might reinstate him if he signed this and signed that and signed this, which would open the floodgates for every other job and every other delegate in the whole state. So we refused and said, no, we're sitting fat. We stayed out in the grass for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, even our own union, CFMU, said, we've got to advise you, you have to return to work or they would be in breach of the law and fined up to $2,000, whatever, a day as well. We said, no, sorry about this, but we'd like to ask you to leave. We are the union as well. We know you've been forced to do this. We had our own meetings and we said, no, we're staying out in the grass till our delegate is reinstated. This didn't happen because the commission would not meet, would not hold any hearings until we returned to work. We had another meeting and management advised us, we want to talk to you before you go to the last meeting because we've had all these issues on us about what fines we're going to get and what they're going to do here and what, you know, in Australia, we've never had this before. We're just normal class working people that we fought for our own rights. We all work hard. We're a family and that's it. So we fought for these rights. We said, no, you can stick it up your ass virtually. Sorry about the language. So anyway, then we went back to a meeting. The management said, if you keep going, we will go for you. But if you go back to work, everything will be sweet. We'll go through the commission. We said, right, we had to get returned to work, go through the court, the commission. We went back to work. Peter Bellard's case was taken to commission. It was deemed that he was unfairly dismissed, but they would not reinstate him. So they compensated him with 6 months' wages, which he donated to Make-A-Wish Foundation for Children, which was applauded by all of us, but we still had no delegate. We had to put some other poor bloke in that position with his hands tied as well. I was still safety rep on site. I was given notices to say that if you're deemed to be doing anything out of safety, and by deemed to be going outside of safety, their procedures are, I could watch a poor workmate die over there, but before he died over there, I'd have to go and find a supervisor on site over about 2-3 Ks and say, excuse me, this bloke's just about to die over there. Can I stop them from working now? So I've had to box a bit clever, and we've all got to do the same things with these new laws. But all I can say is we thought that was the end of it. We would just try and finish the job as safe as we could and get on with the rest of it and find another job as we've done in construction all our lives. So that was it. We all sort of had our tails between our legs and the harmony on the job was not the same. The blokes are just their heads down. But harmony started getting back up again. We had some rallies. We said, no, we're going to fight this new laws to the end. They won't go this, they won't do that, they won't do that. We will take it right to them. Then that was fine. That was in February. And this has been going on for a couple of years. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, we all got 107, I'm one of them, get home at 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I've got someone jumping out or hiding behind a tree or being at my wife's door or my mother's door, or if I lived there, or my kids harassing them, trying to poke a summons for $28,000 in their face. So they poked it in my face as I got at the car at 8 o'clock at night, and I just said, yes, I'm Malcolm Peters. Here's your writ. You're served to this, blah, blah, blah. See you later. So that was it. I'm one of 107 that are up for these summonses of $28,000 miners. And that's not the end of it. We've still got people on that job, subcontractors that said they would never even go for them, that now they're going for them as well. We're individuals who said they would never go for, now they're coming for us. So it's not going to stop there. It's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And somehow we are doing this at the moment to try and tell everyone in every state this is not the end of it. We're all in breach of this and we're all going to be affected some way along the line. So I'd just like everyone's support to get this around to the community. And we're doing it here in New South Wales and we're off to Brisbane next. And I'd just like to say what support we've had is overwhelming and I'd like to thank you all very much. Thank you.
Be sure to catch the entire lecture series on fourthestateradio.com.